This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We are previewing a team a day all the way through to the start of the season. We're doing a division a week, let's say, and this week it's the NFC East. And we've done the Giants, we've done the Cowboys, and now it is the Redskins' turn today to talk about a team that is going to have a quarterback battle in camp in Richmond between Dwayne Haskins, the rookie, Case Keenum, who played for the Broncos last year, and Colt McCoy, who seems to do pretty well every now and then in subbing in for the Redskins. We'll talk about that team. Trent Williams is going to be holding out. He's another one of these big holdouts, wants his money. Redskins are nervous about paying him the money because it means they'll have to pay money to other people. You know, it's one of those holdout situations, but nevertheless, we'll be previewing them. But I'll stay on the Cowboys for a second because Ezekiel Elliott working on in Cabo, that's been the big story this week. He's also holding out wanting a new deal, except if you kind of know his situation, the Cowboys have him for this year under contract, they have him next year, and they can franchise him in the fifth-year option. So in essence, Dallas is really holding a few more cards here. Now, if you're Ezekiel Elliott, the only play you have is to miss games. To say, look, I'm not going to play in actual games, and then kind of force the Cowboys' hand here. And if Ezekiel Elliott is willing to do that, this could get really interesting. In the end, I think the Cowboys would be smart here to pay Elliott. You've got a good young core here. You've got a good young quarterback that you like that you want to pay. You've got a good young wide receiver in Amari Cooper that you like and you want to pay. And you absolutely love Ezekiel Elliott, so you want to pay him. Do you want to break the bank? Of course not. But I think there is a happy medium here that I think both of these two sides can work out. Jerry Jones was playing it publicly by announcing out there to everybody that you don't have to have a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. But does he realize, and I think he does, that the Cowboys need one to win a Super Bowl? Dak Prescott is not going to win a Super Bowl with his arm. He's not going to throw to Amari Cooper and that's going to be it. The defense is good, but you need another thing on your offense that sort of kicks your team's identity into gear, and that's Elliott. And I think Jones is smart enough to know that. At least I hope he is, especially if you're a Cowboys fan. You may not need a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl, but the Dallas Cowboys need a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. All right, coming up, the Saints and that lawsuit.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. That's how you got to hit us, on Twitter. So yesterday we talked, and we had a lot of fun with this legal story going on in New Orleans, that Roger Goodell and the officials in the NFC Championship game are going to actually have to testify or at least appear in court to talk about that call that occurred in the championship game that cost the Saints a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And it's been broken down, but Michael McCann, who is a legal, kind of a sports legal expert, he's broken this down from the legality standpoint. And I found it fascinating because on the one hand, I think this is silly, but on the other hand, it's kind of interesting because the lawsuit is based on the idea that this game is not exactly square. Now, they're not saying in the lawsuit that the NFL is complicit in conspiring against the Saints and thus creating a outcome for themselves. Like, we want the Rams in the Super Bowl. It's best if the Rams are in the Super Bowl, so let's make sure the Rams are in the Super Bowl. They're not saying that. But they're saying because the officiating on that particular play was so egregious that this wasn't the best product the NFL could have given ticket holders who went to that game. Now, that's a really interesting argument. And I don't know, again, not a lawyer, so I don't know legally what kind of weight this has. But imagine if you bought a $12 ticket to go see a movie, and it was the worst movie you've ever seen. and you noticed that the, you know, like the set was bad and there was like a shadow of the boom mic and the audio dub was terrible, would you honestly have a lawsuit against the manufacturers of the movie? Because that's basically what this lawsuit is talking about. That this wasn't the best product that Roger Goodell promised the fans, that you would get football on the best level you can get it at because of this egregious call. Now, it's interesting. Now, why are they going to win this case? Likely not. But it does open up this sort of wormhole, if you will, of what this could actually mean. Now here's the deal. They accept that human error occurs by players, coaches, and officials during competition. However, the plaintiffs, and I'll read exactly from this article, the plaintiffs also highlight clear errors in judgment by Goodell in methods he used to select and evaluate officials. They further reference a failure by the league to utilize available mechanisms to correct such egregious injustice to one NFL team to benefit another NFL team. Now, that's basically saying, you have replay. You could have used it, even though there isn't anything in the rule book that would have allowed replay to be used at that moment. They did not at that time review pass interference penalties. But this lawsuit is saying, but you still should have done that. Now that's interesting to me, because now in any sport, the how that sport governs itself or governs the action on the court/field can now be dictated by fans suing that organization for something egregious. For example, if you go to a baseball game and their umpire has a strike zone the size of Montana, and you go, that clearly was 2 feet off the plate. How was that a strike? Can you now sue and say, you have replay, you have video, you have technology that allows you to create that strike zone, and you're not using it?
Yeah, they didn't have, I was trying to think of an example. They didn't have replay in baseball for Armando Galarraga's
right.
No perfect game, right?
Right, right.
Because that, to me, would be the scenario right there. It's like, you know, you could sue MLB because you missed out on the chance of witnessing history.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because of a botched call.
And again, I don't look at these things in their own little vacuum. I look at it as I'm looking at this lawsuit as an umbrella for something larger, where fans might be, these lawyers are now like, oh, I'm going to be a little bit more empowered about how these leagues conduct themselves. Now, here's where it gets a little iffy to me, because the lawyer and the three others plaintiffs in this case, he says they, because of the no call, that they suffered, quote, great emotional trauma, past, present, and future relating to this travesty. All right. That travesty has been defined as that call. The loss of enjoyment, past, present, and future, of the opportunity to enjoy and observe the celebration of the New Orleans Saints as a true and NFL declared NFC champion. This is bogus. And I said this at the time, and I said this now. Yes. Would that call have driven the Saints' likely percentage of winning that game to 99%? Yes. It would have given them a first down. They were already in Rams territory. They could have ran out the clock. They would have kicked the field goal one. Remember, the game was tied at the moment. And the circumstance around that game was they kicked the field goal after the non-call. They were up by three, but there was enough time on the clock for the Rams to go down the field and kick a field goal to then tie the game again. They got the and then in the overtime, the Rams won the game. Okay, what that sentence I just said assumes a lot, even though the percentage of the Saints winning are pretty high. But it assumes that the field goal would have been made. It assumes that any other play would not have been a turnover. It assumes a lot. In this case, it assumes a lot that the Saints automatically would have won that game if that call had been made.
What if we had a what was the Music City Miracle?
Right, exactly, sure.
Because the Saints, there wasn't enough time for the Saints to, I mean, maybe the Saints would have found a way to just eat all the clock.
Yeah.
But maybe they don't.
And this reasoning here, this reasoning should be thrown out. Because, again, there's an assumption here that you cannot make. You just cannot make. The Saints would have won this game. We all know that. But I think legally you can't say it was a certainty.
Well, okay, put it in layman's terms. That's like going to a store and saying, hey, you know what? I bought this shirt, but now it's on sale. I want you to give me the difference in the money.
Right. Yeah.
I did not buy it on sale, but I'm going to take you to court until you give me the money because now the shirt's on sale 6 months later.
It is amazing to me that Roger Goodell is going to have to go and testify on this.
All I want to know is, will this be televised?
It's got to be televised.
It has to be, right?
Exactly.
We have to have it televised.
Now,
if it's not televised, can we riot?
That's true. That is true. Now, let me make this clear.
Forget storming Area 51. We're storming New Orleans.
That's right. We're just storming New Orleans. Now, for those of you who are thinking, because the NFL, you know, this call, they're being sued, you know, basically because this call cost the Saints the game. Remember, the Saints are the defendants in this case, too, because the Saints are part of the NFL shield.
Right.
The Saints can't sue the league. They basically can't sue themselves because they're part of the league for this. Or can they? That was what I was kidding. Can they? Now, what if the Saints said, wait a minute here. This might have some legs.
This guy is onto something.
This guy is onto something.
This is insider trading.
Michael McCann, again, their illegal insider at SI.com, says this case is tricky to settle. The plaintiffs are not, at least according to their court filings, seeking to profit from the litigation. They actually said this. They want damages, but the damages are going to charity. They claim that they'll donate any of the litigations. From that vantage point, Lamont and his fellow Saints ticket holders seek not money, but an opportunity to force Goodell to explain himself. And I think that's the key here. I don't care if they win or not. I think this ends up going the NFL's way because I think the NFL says we can't do this.
The most annoying thing to this whole thing is that what's the end game?
What is he
hoping to accomplish? Because, I mean, he's not in it for the money. He's just going to turn the money around and donate it. Great. You know, I'm sure the NFL will be like, you know, set out a court and say, hey, you guys are only asking for $75. We'll cut a $100,000 check right now.
Yep, exactly.
To save the embarrassment. All they're trying to do is just embarrass the NFL into making a decision they've already made.
Well, remember when we were at the Super Bowl? Right. Remember we were at the Super Bowl? We said, listen, they can't do this game over, right?
No, like, they can't.
When?
That's the point.
Like, other leagues have done do-overs, right? Like that baseball game that the Red Sox had under protest with the Rays, I don't know if it's been – I haven't paid attention to it, so no. I don't know if it's been settled or not. But if the Red Sox would have won that, they would have found somewhere in the schedule to replay that game.
The Pine Tar game.
Right. The Pine Tar game was redone.
They played the final innings.
Yep. They played the final innings of that game. NBA games. David Stern did a game with the Heat. I think it was the Heat and the Hawks, where they played the final, 1 minute of a game because of a number of fouls that Shaquille O'Neal had. Like, there have been times where leagues have done do-overs, but those aren't, the NFL is not fitting in that window. The NFL doesn't fit in that window. When that game was over, the league had to shift into Super Bowl mode.
Yes.
Right? So you don't have a large period of time to evaluate this and bring everybody back. And the logistics of doing that are very, very difficult to do.
And
right?
But I mean, like I said before, too, if they're, you know, at that time, this is all we've been saying, at that time, that rule, you know, to replay or to review a pass interference call was not in the books. It's now in the books.
They made that change.
So, I mean, if you're going to try to force the NFL to make that change, the change has already been made.
They've done that.
I don't know what the end game is for this. But I want to see it.
I really am interested in this. I thought it was silly, and now like this has been going on for a few months. Like every now and then you'll see this little story, like somebody sues the NFL and you're like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, very funny.
Okay, now we've reached the point today. You know, end of July, we've reached a point now where this guy, ha ha ha, very funny, is getting the commissioner on the stand to ask him questions.
How in the world this happened is still mind-boggling.
Do you think there's any chance someone is going to pay the lawyer asking questions a few extra thousands and thousands of dollars, or say, I will pay you money, more money to that charity, whatever charity this is going to, for you to slip in another question where, you know, they might say objection?
Yeah, right.
Just to see what he would say. You know, just ask him, like, hey, do you feel you botched that Ray Rice scenario?
I know, right? Can we talk about some other things?
Have you been harsher on other players to make up for said botched Ray Rice scenario?
Oh, that would be great.
I got a list of questions. Is there a place we can submit questions?
How many of us would love to have Roger Goodell in an honest one-on-one where he has to tell the truth under oath?
Yes.
But by the way, I wonder if Goodell went, hey, who's the league lawyer in this? Fire him immediately. I shouldn't be. I have no business going down to New Orleans. How in the world did it end up? I have to do this. Don't we have people that protect me from this? My God.
Go get that Michael McCann guy. He seems to know what he's talking about.
He seems to know what he's talking about. He's wrote a whole article about all the legalese behind this. Where was my guy on this? What, how in the world were there not 75 injunctions thrown at this case to get me not to go to New Orleans to talk about this stupid game?
How is it not possible this thing is not tied up well beyond my death?
God. So, I know, exactly. That's right. And listen, I don't know this guy, this lawyer, Lamont. I don't know whether he's a hero or he's wasting everybody's time, but I like this idea that he's getting Goodell to talk.
That, and we need him as an old-time Southern lawyer and with a white shirt with white suspenders.
That's right. I can't wait. I might have to Google, see what he looks like.
Oh, don't kill the dream.
No, don't kill the dream. Don't kill the dream. You're right. Don't kill the dream.
We both have an image of him in our head. Let's just keep it that way.
You're absolutely right. I am not going to Google him to see what he looks like. That's right. I want suspenders and a bulldog, like in court, and a big old glass of a sweet tea. Oh, that's awesome. Roger Goodell.
And no AC in that courtroom.
And
just ceiling fans.
Ceiling fans, exactly.
That's it.
And everybody fanning themselves in the upper deck.
Yes.
Watching Goodell. And just Southern Bells going, I can't believe he's talking about the Saints like that. He don't love the Saints like we do here. Oh, I can't wait. This
Saints
is going to be so good.
Pure.
I can't. He robbed them Saints. I can't wait to see how this is going to play out. This is great. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. 800-224-2004, the number, if you want to join us on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along on a Wednesday. Summer's heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So the big trade yesterday, Trevor Bauer going to the Reds, the Padres are a part of the deal, Yasiel Puig going to the Indians. And so Puig celebrated his Cincinnati departure by being involved in a brawl against the Pittsburgh Pirates last night at Great American Ballpark. Are baseball brawls, are they not the most fun thing to watch in the world? Like, guys who normally don't fight each other then start fighting each other?
Yeah.
It's not like hockey. Like, hockey's fights, which I've been hearing has been going down lately. But in baseball, it's like these brawls are like weird because they look like schoolyard fights where there's no organization. Like,
well,
let's just throw punches and see what happens.
You look at the other three major sports, right? And you can even throw soccer in there as well. There's contact.
Yeah.
During that sport. If I'm fighting football, always seems pointless because they're in full pads. Like, you're really not going to do any damage to the guy. I'm sorry. Basketball, we see someone get clothesline. You see pushing and shoving and fights break out all the time. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense because, you know, there's contact. Baseball, there's no contact. And I think that's where it's always funny. Like, especially last night, Garrett was just standing on the mound talking to, I don't think it was the manager. I think it was more like a pitching coach. He was just talking to him, and then the Pirates bench started mouthing off. He started mouthing off of them, and then he charged him.
Yeah.
He charged the entire bench. He was going to take the entire bench on.
I know.
How could you not love that?
It's so amazing to me that especially athletes can go from like 0 to 1,000 so quickly. Right, you go from just like little steam to really flipping out and starting.
The only time where that makes sense is when you get beamed. I could see someone going from 0 to I'm going to pummel you in 2.7 seconds.
That's very true because the tension of that has got to be nerve wracking, especially when it's like if it's a fastball towards your head. Good lord,
yeah,
you're gonna go crazy. You're gonna lose your mind. So, yeah, absolutely.
But I knew from the moment I saw that Reds fight happen, I'm like, where's Puig?
I know. That's exactly right.
Puig just gets into fights.
He just gets, that's his thing.
That's his thing.
It's amazing. I mean,
and he didn't disappoint. What's even more brilliant about that is that he's going to the Indians, probably today.
It's going
to
head over.
He won't be able to play for them until probably after the weekend.
I know.
Exactly. He'll be suspended.
Ejected. That's how he leaves the Reds, ejected. And how Trevor Bauer's last appearance with the Indians is throwing a ball over the center field fence from the mound.
You know what? Truth be told, Tony, he was throwing the ball to Cincinnati.
Right.
And he's going to pick it up.
And he's going to go get it.
In fact, that's
how
they should bring him out. Someone should toss the ball out of center field and he just picks it up. And
that's a good one. That's a good
first
one.
Pitch.
That's a really good one. That's a good point. That'd be nice. That's a good way to market that. Good job. So, it's just, I've never seen a trade where two guys left their teams in such dramatic fashion before in my life.
I don't think I've ever seen a trade where one guy's left.
I know, right? I don't think I can remember a guy getting traded, and before he gets traded, he gets into a fight and ejected, and he's going into a suspension heading into his new team.
Yep.
Never seen that before.
Indians fans, you got this. Obviously, the trade went down before the fight, right?
Yeah.
Could that kill the – that can't kill a trade, right? Just because he got into a fight?
Probably not.
Can't kill a trade.
Probably not. Because the Indians are probably like, oh, thank God. We got rid of Bauer. Oh,
we like his fighting spirit.
Hey, wasn't Bauer the guy – correct me if I'm wrong – that was saying, like, I don't like relationships because girls are too clingy?
Yep.
Remember that?
I'm not going to say he's controversial.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's also the guy who called out the entire Astros pitching staff.
That's right.
For doctoring the ball somehow.
Exactly.
Because, you know, Astros pay attention to spin rate, and Trevor Bauer doesn't believe in that, I guess.
He got in an argument with some college girl. She likes Alex Bregman, and he ended up with like a Twitter argument with her. And she's like a nobody, and then all of the Bauer fans found her and was like harassing her online. Now, it's not his fault, per se, but... I mean, yeah. I was like, what are you doing talking to some college girl, arguing, yelling at some college girl on Twitter? Because she's an Alex Bregman fan. Give me a break. Yeah, so that's Trevor Bauer for you. But man, think about this. The Reds, they've got Sonny Gray. They've got who made the All-Star team. They got Luis Castillo. They got Trevor Bauer. They're putting together a nice little rotation.
Yeah. Who would have thunk that? I guess the Reds are trying to be relevant. I guess they're somewhat relevant right now, right?
Well, they're 8 games out, but in that division, I mean, that they're looking at that division and saying, okay, look, all these teams are flawed and is likely to be continued to flaw. Like the Cardinals are really good, but they've had slumps. The Cubs are good, but they have no bullpen, right? I mean, you're looking
Brewers
at this team.
Are good, but Brewers they keep using are good, openers but, instead of starting starters.
But there is a chance. There is an opening for the Reds to say, look, maybe us next year or 2 years from now, if we build something and can shore up this or that, we'd be all right. The end of the division is the division is winnable. You have to be careful because you don't know what these teams may do in their off seasons. You know, the Cardinals might go out and make a big deal and get better. Brewers are a very, very good team. But the Reds are not a team that is going, you know, let's just get rid of all our good players and start all over again. Because teams like that just never get it together. And the Reds, I think, are trying to put something together at least to try to see what they can do. So it worked out for everybody. It was a trade where, you know, sellers and buyers, it seemed to work out for everybody. So the kid the Padres got, the Trammell kid, is supposed to be great.
That's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
And that's, again, I mean, it's just a head-scratcher of the Padres making moves. Like I said earlier, I mean, when you hear the Padres at the trade deadline, it's because they've given up somebody.
Yeah.
Or exactly. they they were part of a three-team deal where they took the garbage. Like, the two teams wanted to make the deal, but in order for it to work on the books, they had a package with these guys. Then they bring that third team in and go, oh, we'll just give them to the Padres,
that's
all the
right.
garbage.
That's right. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. It's coming up next Wednesday on SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb for a Wednesday on the eve of the NFL preseason debut. So let's get the good.
The good of the day. We've been talking about it all morning long, how A.J. Green got injured, right? That's nothing
right.
good about that. But the good is that there is a former Bengals wide receiver who is willing to come to the rescue of the Bengals.
Oh, please tell me who it is.
Chad Ochocinco.
Oh, how great is this?
He tweeted out yesterday, and this what makes it even better is his fee.
Oh, what does he want to charge for this?
He tweeted out, at Bengals, I'm available for training camp to preserve the starting receiver's legs. Don't need a contract, just a McDonald's coupon book from the one in Covington, and I'll run all day.
Oh, my gosh. Really? How much was McDonald's paying him for that little plug on Twitter?
Probably nothing. He's probably angling for trying to kill two birds with one stone.
That's what he's trying to do. That's right.
But,
and then McDonald's goes, you don't need to run a camp. We'll give you the coupon book nevertheless.
Yeah, I mean, you know, A.J. Green just went under ankle surgery. Chad Ochocinco can't be that bad, right? He's not that far removed from the NFL.
Do you think he's in good shape still? Do you think he keeps himself in good shape?
I imagine he's. I don't think he's gone the way of Thor.
Yeah, right? I mean, a lot of these guys, man, when they get out of the league, all of a sudden it's like, okay. Like, big guys get thinner, and then some guys
which is always
don't
bizarre.
Get thinner.
Which is so bizarre. Like, when you see Joe Thomas now, you're like, nah, you're not Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas is like, well, I used to have 8 meals a day, and then I just went back down to 2, and now this is what you get.
I became a human being.
That's right. I became a human being. I shed the armor of being an offensive lineman, and now I'm a regular person. But other guys with those, like, slim figures, sometimes they go, okay, I've been limiting myself, and now I'm not going to limit myself.
If you're the Bengals, do you entertain this idea just a little bit?
Yeah, it'd be funny.
You know, I mean, I would totally do it. It's like, hey, you said a McDonald's coupon book. Here you go.
And
And that's the other thing. Does McDonald's, do they have coupon books?
I don't think they do.
I know that. I want to say they did at some point. I feel like everyone did.
Like you could rip off like a free filet of fish or a free
with
apple
purchase
pie.
Of meal.
Yeah. I remember gift certificates. I remember they had a gift certificate book. I used to get them when I was a paper boy. But I don't remember any coupons like free order fries. But nevertheless, I'm sure the Covington McDonald's would be more than happy to create one.
Oh, of course.
If Ochocinco were to visit them.
Just how brilliant is that? I just love it. I was like, yes.
You know what? You're right, Ron. There's too many ingredients here to just ignore this.
Ignore it. You just
right?
do it.
Just too many, like, McDonald's should be paying attention. The Bengals should do something with it.
Listen,
Ochocinco's obviously in the mix of his.
He's not saying, hey, you know what? Let me get a jersey. Let me get my old number back. Let me start running routes for you on Sundays again. He's just saying, you know, let me help preserve some of the wide receiver's legs while you're going through training camp.
Yeah, I'll come in and give me some Big Macs, fries, and an apple pie. I'm all good. Or McFlurry or whatever whatever he's fancying.
You've already lost one receiver probably for the first half of the year.
Don't want to lose anymore. Or based on the analysis of A.J. Green, he'll miss a couple of games. It's likely A.J. Green will never play in the NFL again.
Right? All because of your field, Dayton. Look what you did.
I agree with you, Ron. I think there's too many elements here.
Don't ignore it.
Do something fun with
this. Get the McDonald's coupon book. Throw a Burger King one in there just for fun.
Why not? Just keep them in the mix. Keep them in the loop, too.
Right.
Build it. Invent it. Go online. Print it out. Make it some fun. Give it to them. Have them run some routes. Big publicity for everybody.
Yep.
Good. You're welcome. All right. What is the bad?
The bad of the day. You know, because... I'm a huge Disney nut. I know you are too. And we're one of the few adults that do like Disney.
I like Disney World. I'm a big fan.
Anyways, there's this mom rant that's gone viral.
Oh, I saw this.
That she had on childless women having fun at Disney World. And I'm sorry. You know what? I guess people are taking it as a slam against millennials. I'm defending millennials here.
Go ahead.
I'm defending millennials. Millennials, you guys go and have your fun at Disneyland or Disney World, at any Disney park. Do you.
Yeah, do you. Don't listen to people. Don't tell you have to have kids to go there.
Yeah, this mom rant, I mean, I read it. I was laughing at it. And I wish I could read it, but there's a lot of profanity through it, so I can't really go full into it. Just know that she was very upset when she saw childless couples without at Disney World. Because it's a family amusement park, meaning you have to have family. You have to have kids. Please. Because what she's upset about is one particular female dressed not conservatively, according to her.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so she's mad at some of the attire.
No. She was mad at this one particular female who was not dressed conservatively, because she had to point that out, because that validated her argument even further.
I got you.
Took the last Disney pretzel. and her three-year-old wanted one and was upset because that cart had ran out of pretzels.
You killed my child's childhood.
Right. And then she's also upset with them because they're there childless, making the lines longer, and she has to explain to her three-year-old why they are standing in line for so long, or, you know, she can't skip the ride because it's her child's vacation too.
People.
All arguments every person who's ever gone to an amusement park has.
So basically she wants to live in a world where amusement parks say you must have a child to enter the park.
Yes.
That's the world she wants to live in, where if you get to the gate, you'd be like, where's your child?
Here's the line that you'll love the most, okay? People without children need to be banned.
Oh, I got
mothers
you.
With children should be allowed to skip all the line.
Oh, wonderful.
You have no bleep idea what it's like to have to stand in line for 3 hours with a cranky, tired, exhausted toddler. And I can't just tell him that we can't do something because it's his vacation, too.
Don't bring toddlers there. Wait till they're a little older so that they kind of understand what's going on.
Or if you do, like I brought my son who's two, he's going to be three in a couple of weeks. I brought him to Disneyland. You know what we did? We made sure he was doing stuff while other people stood in line.
Very good point. Be a parent.
There are a ton of things that don't have lines that you could do at Disneyland or Disney World that he would enjoy and he or she would enjoy and have fun with.
A ton of things. Stop complaining about everything, people. Enough. God, you know what it is? I bet she wrote that like recently or like 6 months ago when now we're discovering.
It said, no, yeah, it was, I think it almost, I guess it's a year old now, but it's
okay.
But it's coming back around. I guess it was now, out there and now it's coming back around again.
I'd love to know the date.
We're in the middle of theme park season, summertime.
Yeah, I'd love to know the date of when she wrote this and when she went on vacation.
September 22nd.
That's when she went?
And she wrote it at 1:04 a.m.
She went in the fall?
Right.
When all the kids are in school?
Yeah. That's why she's complaining about all the childless couples.
Because Ron, if she wrote that in July... I get it, because the heat in Florida will make you lose your mind. Like, that place times heat times crowd will make you go insane.
But listen, because I've done Disney a lot. She went during a time when most young adults go.
That's right.
Because
that's
they right. know, hey, kids are in school. The park should be emptier.
My wife and I, my wife and I can't wait till the kids are, like, gone. We can just go by ourselves.
Yes!
Like, we can go at times where there's nobody there. Instead of waiting for their silly, stupid school vacations. No, but again, stop complaining about everything, people. Look, like just because you have a voice doesn't necessarily mean you have to use it.
Right.
Sometimes keep your thoughts to yourself. This is a dumb thing.
And I'm not one to really ever, you know, back millennials because I like making fun of them just as much as the next guy. But this one, I gotta back. I gotta
go
stand
enjoy
with them.
Your theme
like,
parks.
You know
enjoy your roller coasters and your rides.
Yep. Just have fun.
Just have fun.
It's all right, the happiest place on earth.
What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I'm struggling with this. I don't know if this is dumb or if it's brilliant.
Oh, okay. I like
these. It's a little spin. So a young fan, it was a young kid who was probably, I would say, you know, between the age of 10 and 13, right? It's hard to tell. Went to Josh Allen after a Bills training session and handed him his Dolphins Kenny Stills jersey to sign.
Ooh, so he,
now,
okay.
I will say it's dumb because his dad is standing behind him smiling that he is handing over his Dolphins Kenny Stills jersey to sign, to have Josh Allen sign it.
All right.
Josh Allen looked at it, obviously said, I can't sign this. Started making fun of the kid a little bit because, you know, I'm a Bills, he's a Dolphins, what's going on here? So then Josh Allen goes and grabs the jersey he was just wearing, signs that one, and gives it to the kid.
Oh, that is, oh, well done.
Right?
Well done.
So, I mean, this is one of those where it starts off dumb.
Yep.
And then it gets, not only is it, I mean, this is all on video, by the way. Not only is it brilliant, I mean, I'm mad respect for Josh Allen because, you know, he's just standing there and he's trying to figure out a way to sign these. He goes, oh, I need to go find a table. And he literally walks away from the kid to go find just some regular table that's, I don't know, guy handing out water or something. I don't know what he's doing. And he goes and he makes sure that he signs it properly.
That is great.
And then hands it to the kid.
You know what? That I think there's a strategy behind that. I think they took their chances and said, what the heck? Why not?
Yeah.
See what happens.
See what happens.
This is the only thing I got, Josh. I don't have a jersey. This is the only jersey I have. Could you sign it? Because I'm a big fan. Bam. I got to give you my jersey.
I was a Dolphin fan. Now I'm a Bills fan.
There was a video.
But I don't have Bills jersey yet.
There was a very similar video to this that was in the NHL. There was a Washington Capitals player that saw this cute little girl and he wanted to give her a puck, and there were two little boys next to the little girl, and
yes.
He flipped the. Remember this?
Yeah.
Where he flips the puck over, and the boy catches it, and he goes, "Ah!" Oh, he goes, gets another one, and he flips it over, and the other boy catches it, and he bangs on the thing, and he's like, "Her!" And he flips over the third one, and then they all go up, and I'm thinking to myself, "What a brilliant thing!" Because if she had gotten the puck first, maybe the two kids don't get a puck.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the two kids got a puck. It basically forces the player to go. Her. I'm giving her a puck and only her a puck.
Everyone
here it is.
Wins.
And then everybody got one.
Everyone wins. And in this situation, this kid just wanted Josh Allen's autograph and he walks away with a signed jersey.
He walks away with a signed jersey.
So, I mean, it's dumb on the father for, I guess, allowing this to happen because I think if I'm in that situation, I'd be sitting there telling my son, you can't have him sign. That's not his jersey.
I agree. I would have totally done that.
You can't have him sign the jersey. But on the same time, you know, now I'm looking at it, I'm like, see what happens, man. Maybe
not
you get
bad.
A free jersey out of
not
this.
Not bad. All right. That is a good. The good, the bad, and the dumb. It's on a Wednesday here on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Glad you can be with us. All right, so I have to bring this up. As next hour, we're going to be previewing the Redskins and talking about this team and talking about the season. And Dave Preston will join us from WTOP. My neighbor put up a Cleveland Browns flag outside of his house. And I don't know what to feel. I don't know how to feel about this.
You got
to
go make friends.
He's a brand new neighbor. They just moved in not that long ago.
Are they from Cleveland?
I don't even know where they're from.
That's what you got to find out.
I was going to introduce myself to him, but now I don't
know
if I should.
A piece of pie?
Yeah, I was going to make it like a casserole.
Well, I figured.
Hi, welcome to the neighborhood.
I figured.
I noticed you like a football team I can't stand.
I figured from what you were telling us about your house earlier, you probably don't even have to cook it, right? You just put it in the kitchen?
Yes, just leave it out. Leave it out. Let it just sort of cook itself. That's right.
You gotta go over. You gotta go over and introduce yourself. Maybe
I do.
You got a Steelers jersey?
I did. Well, I don't have a jersey. I have enough gear to make it known.
I think that's how you should just walk over.
I think so too.
You know, maybe because I know you have a terrible towel. Maybe wear a hat and have the terrible towel, like, you know, tucked into the hat.
Good idea.
Very noticeable. It's eye level, so he sees what it is right away.
Yep.
My wife said I should go bring one over as a welcoming gift to see what happens. I go, that would be fun.
Do you have a spare?
I have a bunch.
Gift?
Okay. Yeah, I have a number of them, but they're all special. No, Ron Culver. I know, give away a towel.
You know what that is? That's when if you guys are sitting in the backyard and maybe he spills a drink. And he asks, do you have a towel? You throw him the terrible towel.
That's a good idea. Or I could have him and his wife come over. I could purposely spill my drink and go, I'm going to go get a towel. I'll be right back.
Can you hand me that towel sitting right there?
That yellow one?
Toss it over to me. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It has to be nonchalant. Just, on the slide. Just like, that the Steelers are better. Maybe not this year, but that they are overall.
Yeah. It's amazing. He not only put a flag outside his house, but he has another one of those like little tiny flags that you like stick in the ground.
Yeah.
Like those, he's got one of those too. So he's really repping the Browns.
You need to find out if he's from Cleveland, because is he a true Browns fan or is he a bandwagoner?
Yeah, exactly. It would be odd if he was like, "Nah, man, I'm from Nashville. I just had to pick a team when I was a kid because they didn't have one yet when I was a kid, and I picked this one."
Or
like, do you like Brian Sipe? And Ozzie Newsome?
You didn't like those guys?
You actually like Sam Ritigliano?
And if that's the case, why aren't you a Ravens fan?
That's right. Do you like Greg Pruitt? Yeah, why aren't you like the Ravens when they boogied over to Baltimore? Oh, goodness. But no, it was really funny. Like I started laughing when I saw it. Like I walked out to my car and I looked out and I went, oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Of
all the flags. Now, normally, and I'll be honest with you, here living in Tennessee, you drive by a lot of people's houses and it's an Auburn flag or it's a Tennessee flag,
right,
or it's an Alabama flag. It's mostly college teams. And there's some Titans flags. But this guy's repping the Browns
early in July.
Hey.
Yeah, there was no waiting for a season to kick off. This flag needs to go up now.
I can't wait. I can't wait to meet him and see how this goes. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.